and we think about how many people are just out there going about their daily business, you know, yard work, vacations, it truly is an honor once again to be able to come before God and to be reminded of all his plan. And it's amazing how blessed we are to be invited here and to understand our future. It's hard to really grasp that one day we'll be spiritual, that one day we'll be in the presence of God who is our Heavenly Father. And yet the Bible instructs us, and we all are to read those scriptures and to listen to the words of God. It's like listening to our parent. When we're in this physical life, we want to listen to our spiritual parent as well. And it's important to heed the warnings that we're given. Many times, even as Christians, we've been called, we've been baptized, we can still ignore some of those commands, some of those warnings that we're given. And so let me quickly share a story about how important it is to listen. Back in 1962, two young men went on an expedition. They were going through the mountains of Peru. They were hiking here and there, taking in nature, taking pictures, enjoying it. And while they hiked, they came across a glacier. And so they stopped their excursion because they wanted to check out this glacier more. They had studied a little bit of this before, I believe, and they started examining the glacier and noticed how unstable it was. So they looked at it and checked it out, and what really troubled them was down in the valley, thousands of people lived. So after gathering some information, they went down there, and they started sharing this with people. Like, that glacier up there could break off and come down here and wipe out this village. They continued to do that for a couple weeks. Eventually, the authorities heard about it, put them in jail. And after 2 weeks or so, they were released. They had to recant their story, go back home. But you know, several years later, back in 1970, about 8 years after that, an earthquake hit that area, and it broke off part of that glacier, and let's say millions of tons of ice and rock slid down into that town. It buried approximately 20 to 25,000 people. It's the world's deadliest avalanche. I'd never heard of it before, but when you think about it, some things like that, and only if only the people had paid attention to the warning they had been given. They had years to prepare. I mean, it was 1962 when these two young men came and shared, it's dangerous, it's bad. But they tried to hush it, even the authorities. And so they ignored that warning. And it did come eventually as a thief in the night. The majority of that town lost their life. So I ask us a question. Are we paying attention to the warnings that God is giving us? Let's turn today to Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23, we'll just look at a few verses here, starting in verse 1. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. We know that God gave man seven festivals, and here we are today on one of them. He separated them into three agricultural seasons, as I mentioned earlier, and he commanded us, actually all of mankind, to keep them. And we think about the deep meaning. When we don't keep them, we don't think about the meaning of them. And so each of these holy days reveal God's great plan and how not only us, but everyone will eventually have the chance to become a part of God's family, become his children. But there are requirements that God expects of us. He wants us to listen to his words and heed the warnings and to follow. So Leviticus 1, I should say 23, verse 1, it says, "And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord." And if we just stop there a moment, so many in the world overlook that these are God's feasts, not man's. They don't belong to just the Jews. They don't belong to any group of people. These are God's feasts. And it says, "These feasts, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." That's a beautiful statement that so many have overlooked. And so here it mentions a holy convocation. That means a sacred assembly. So even this meeting together today, commanded by God, is very special in his sight. And he wants us to come into his presence and to worship him, to honor him, to give him glory. He wants us to come to be reminded of what he's done for us and what he will do, because there's so much more coming in the future. And not many people in the world today are assembled before God, and we understand why. Until God opens our minds, their minds, it's hard to even grasp any of this. So these festivals belong to God, and everyone should keep them. And the beauty of that is one day everyone will keep them. So we long for that time, don't we? Staying in the same chapter, let's go over to verse 23 that refers to this day that we're observing. Verse 23 of Leviticus 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal." So they offered animals and so forth back then. Today we give of our substance, our money, our cash that refers to that. But so we do the offering as well. But let's just notice a few words there. It says, today is the first day of the seventh month. That's the month of Ethanim, or Tishri, as it's called. And it mentioned that this is a memorial. That means it's intended to remind people on a yearly basis. That's why we're here. God is saying, my children, I want you to never forget what this day pictures and to look forward to it. God is reminding us of future events and showing us what he intends to do. And we know he has the power to do it. We know he won't forget. So what this day pictures will happen. And here the phrase blowing of trumpets. That's the Hebrew word teruah. And here's some of the meaning of that word. It means an acclamation of joy or a battle cry. Can you imagine, you know, a lot of people getting ready to fight and that cry that goes out, like the energy, and they're getting ready to, let's say, protect their nation. So this word can mean that. It means also especially the noise of trumpets, an alarm or a loud noise. So when we talk about the blowing of trumpets here, this is some of the meaning behind it. In the God's Word translation, the verse 24 says, it will be a memorial day, a holy assembly, announced by the blowing of ram's horns. So when we think about that, you know, today we don't see all these things happening, and we can kind of forget how to picture all this. But a shofar, and let me give you one of the definitions of that word, it's a horn from a clean animal, usually a ram's horn, blown by the ancient Hebrews in battle and during religious ceremonies. So that horn that they had from their animals, it was used for getting people's attention. And you think about when blown, it could be heard from a long distance. And so today, God is wanting our undivided attention. He's wanting us to hear his voice, just like the people heard that trumpet or that horn blow. So, brethren, my title today is, When the Trumpets Sound, Will You Be Ready? Because throughout history, one of the main uses of the trumpet has been to sound a warning. It was a loud noise, and it moved people to action. If we think back in the book of Numbers, it tells us that Moses was told to make two silver trumpets. And those trumpets had a purpose. So God tell him, here's how you fashion these. Make them out of silver. And he says, here's the purpose of those trumpets. And he named some of them. It was to call the people together. Can you imagine? I mean, remember, there were millions of Israelites. So they had to have a loud noise that you could hear for miles every direction, and they would gather. It was for calling the elders together. It was for moving the camps, like it's time to move to another location. It was used for war. It was used to announce a feast day or even a new moon. So, brethren, God spoke through these trumpets. I mean, that was God's voice as leading Israel. He would say, blow these for me. That tells the people what I'm wanting, my intentions. And so he sent a message, and the trumpet reminded Israel of God's voice. So this feast is a wake-up call for the people of God. To me, it's a warning to get ready for all that is coming. Let's think about that as we look at a few scriptures today, because there are amazing events that are set to happen at the sound of a trumpet. And most of you are aware of that. As you read your Bible, some really fantastic things pictured by this day, such as the resurrection of the saints. I mean, isn't that amazing? Our bodies change to spirit, not only those who are dead, like Abraham, but we who are alive, if we've done what God has asked. But also, at the trumpet sound, there's some really terrible things that are coming. Things we read about that are really hard to picture because we've never seen it in our lifetime. We believe it'll happen because God said it, but how do we get ready for that? And so God is simply asking us to prepare our lives so that we are ready for that, because now is our day of salvation. For everyone that's been called and they have life now, God is saying, now is your time to prepare and build character, because you can't do that overnight. Brethren, we can't wait until those seven trumpets sound. You know, man will have a choice of whether to respond to those trumpets and repent in the coming tribulation. But God is not going to sound those, in a sense, for the church, because we should already be getting ready and prepared. And he's inviting us now to change our lives. And if we delay, we will deeply regret it if we're not protected during those troublous times. So much will happen. There will be catastrophes one upon another that will stagger our minds. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, and we'll just read a few verses here and there, but starting in verse 1. Revelation 1 and verse 1. You know, before Jesus Christ returns, he will make sure that every single person hears his trumpet blast. They'll be heard around the world. And none of us can say, oh, God didn't give us a proper warning. You know, he has. Let us know. And as we look at his scriptures today, we'll see that all his warnings are loud and clear. Revelation 1 and verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. So think about that, brethren. We're given instruction here. Let's go down to verse 3. It says, blessed is he who reads. So notice we should be doing that. That ties in with the studying that God is asking us to do. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. But there's more to it, isn't there? It says, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. And that word keep, that is written there, we can read right over it, but that means to guard by keeping your eyes on it. In other words, God doesn't want us to lose focus of this plan and our purpose. It means to hold fast. It means to observe. It means to watch. This is what God is reminding, or you could say warning us to do. And it says there that the time is near. That means the season, the occasion is at hand. It could come at any time, and we need to be ready whether it comes during our lifetime or not. Isn't God saying, wake up, don't be caught off guard, don't be, you know, just taking it easy? And why should we suffer? This is what God is telling us. Why should you suffer for all that's coming? You know, get ready for it, and you don't have to. I can bless you instead of curse you. Brethren, God's kingdom is rapidly approaching, and we must be on our guard about these prophecies, what we've been warned about, and to be doing something about it. Let's notice verse 10 here in Revelation 1. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now you think about that. This, brethren, it goes on in the next verse with the words of Christ. And so this loud voice, John is telling us, it sounds like a trumpet. And so John is showing us what would happen during the day of the Lord, a future time when God will correct the whole world. And that term, Lord's Day, in the Greek is Kyriakos Hemera. And it's better translated, instead of Lord's Day, as Day of the Lord, as we see it translated in other scriptures. And so it refers to the time of wrath that will come upon this earth. It's warning us that God's destruction and so forth against mankind will come as a thief, and we have to be ready for that. And so John hears a loud voice like a trumpet, and we have to consider God's words like that. I mean, he's really blaring out there so we can hear what he's trying to say. And I think it's interesting that he compares the voice of God with a trumpet. And so we need to think about, these are warnings to us today, just as the Israelites were warned about approaching war, or it's time to move camp. We can do the same thing today. When we think back in Exodus 19, how Israel stood before God at Mount Sinai, and they trembled when they heard this miraculous trumpet sound that got louder and louder. It says the people were shaking with fear. And in a sense, we should take God's words that seriously. And as we look at the seven trumpets mentioned in Revelation, it's clear that now is our time to prepare. You know, not to wait. We look forward to these events, but even more importantly, God is saying, they're coming, but are you going to be ready for them? And so that is a deep meaning of part of the Feast of Trumpets. You think about that town in Peru, how they were warned, and yet they didn't act. They weren't ready. They lost their lives. They all ignored and probably thought, oh, that's not important. That won't affect us. And as Christians, we can think the same way about certain scriptures, certain warnings, certain commands, like, no, that's okay. But we see from even life's experiences that we have to be careful because it didn't turn out well for them. And at the end time, it won't turn out well for us if we don't heed the warnings of God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Most of us that have grown up in the church or been around for a number of years, we're familiar with the seven seals that are mentioned in Revelation. Ties in with Matthew 24, and they complement each other there. And those seven seals, we know that the seventh seal is broken down into seven trumpets, and then the seventh trumpet is broken down into seven last plagues. So much happens with those events. We understand that the first four seals, which are four horsemen, that they've been marching through time in the sense that we've had religious deception throughout man's rule on earth. We've had the wars and the famine and the pestilence, but they will intensify as we draw closer to the end of this age. So here in Revelation 6, let's look at verse 7 and read a couple verses here. It says, "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades, or the grave, followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth." Brethren, you think about those words. We can read right over them. But this will grow in the coming years. I believe this is referring to it's happened all throughout history. But as conditions get out of control at the end time, as Satan stirs up things, they will only get worse. And so billions here throughout time have died through these various things, basically because man rejects God's way, wants to try it their own way. And so all of this is ahead of us, these trumpet plagues that are coming, and we really need to stop and think about them, how we're living our life. We know that the fifth seal, so there it mentions the fourth seal, but the fifth one, it talks about, and I'll just refer to Matthew 24, because it starts the countdown of the return of Jesus Christ. You know, when that begins, it'll be 3.5 years. It'll be 1,260 days. It'll be times, and half a time. It'll be the 42 months. All those terms are referred to in the Bible, referring to the same time. And in Matthew 24, just referring to it, it says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." For our sake, brethren. Not that we're great or anything. God just says, this is the way I'm setting it up. And so that great tribulation is also referred to as Jacob's trouble throughout the Bible. They're synonymous. And we need to think about how that time is drawing closer today as opposed to last year. We're a year closer to that time. And we don't have to worry about when it's coming. The key is, will we be ready when it comes? Notice what Jeremiah, the prophet, says regarding that day. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, you can jot down. But it says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble." And so throughout time, God's prophets have warned of shocking future events. I'll read a comment from our UCG Bible commentary on that verse. It says, "This will be a time of terrible calamity for the American people, other nations of British heredity, certain peoples of Northwest Europe, and the Jews, to soon be followed by the entire world suffering the greatest catastrophes imaginable." Brethren, we cannot even begin to imagine how bad it will be. It goes on to say, "All the dreadful events of human history will pale before the awful and horrific events that are coming." And so that is a part of the meaning of this day. Yes, we focus on the return of Christ, but God is warning us to get ready for his return, to be doing, to be growing, to be overcoming. And so God has prophesied that this will happen, and it's all due to man's unwillingness to follow God, to continue in sin and say, it's okay, we can figure out our own way, we can come up with our own governments. This is what man has done. And so these seals are leading up to the trumpet blast, and that's a part of what this day pictures. So let's here look at another verse here in Revelation 6. We'll look at verse 12, because we're going to go through these trumpet plagues that are mentioned, but we're leading up to it with the last few seals here. Revelation 6 and verse 12. And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Verse 14. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved off its place. So it goes on to share with us how the kings and the people are so afraid that they're hiding in the hills and in the rocks and in the caves. They're wanting to die. You know, they're telling the rocks to fall on them because they know the wrath of God is great. And God is simply punishing people. It is so horrendous what is coming that people will want to die. But there's so much more to come. And we need to stop and take note of that. We need to, as Christians, to be aware of what God is going to do. And God's real purpose through all this is that people would awaken, that they would repent, that they would grow and honor him and bow and worship him. Brethren, this feast should remind us that God's voice is warning us now that his kingdom will come and that we must be ready. Let's look at Revelation 8 now. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So when we think about that, it goes into verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So these end time seals lead right into this. Of course, the seventh seal is broken down into these seven trumpets. And so, brethren, the world is headed towards utter destruction unless God intervenes. All flesh will die. And yet we know he will intervene. We know the nations are asleep and God's going to wake them up. He's getting everybody ready to join his family. And so that's what the millennium is all about. That's what the white throne judgment is about. Having people awake and to pour out his spirit and his knowledge, his truth, and for us to help in that. To help people, to serve people, to get ready to join the family of God. And it's fitting that we talk about these trumpets on this feast day. Because yes, we look forward to the seventh trumpet. But there's six trumpets before it that are pictured by this Feast of Trumpets. And those should stir us to action. We should really listen carefully to God's voice. Verse 6, here in Revelation 8, it says, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And all of us, I would guess, have read this, have thought about these a little bit. But as we go through this, I want you to think about the sheer terror in people's minds and hearts as these conditions approach. We already know they're coming, but they will be so shocked by it because it will come totally by surprise on them. And these seven trumpets will announce the overthrow of this world's government because God will pour out his anger for man's disobedience. Therefore, we must be doers and not just hearers. And so whether we're alive during that day of the Lord or not, it matters not. God is asking us all to be ready so that if we are, that we'll be counted worthy to escape. So let's look at the seven trumpets and consider whether we're ready for them to sound. Brethren, that's what I want you to think about. This Feast of Trumpets, are we ready for when they come? Are we changing our life? Are we preparing? Are we listening to God? Are we overcoming? So brethren, here in Revelation 8, we'll just read these trumpets, and let's go to verse 7 then. Revelation 8 and verse 7, and it says, the first angel sounded. So I, off the internet, I got the sound of a shofar. That's what they would have blown. And we don't know what it'll sound when God blows through these seven angels. But I just want to play a sound here for each of these trumpets so that we can get a little idea. And I don't know how this recording is and how it'll come out. But let me just play a few seconds here. So you think about that, multiplied so many times so that the whole world hears it. And I picture the children of Israel as they trembled when they heard God's voice and that trumpet sound, that when this goes out, people go, what's going on? Because this is the first trumpet. And when they see that, and as more trumpet plagues come, they're going to be more and more alarmed. So let's read verse 7. It says, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Try to imagine what John is describing so that we make an effort not to go through what the people of this world will go through at the end time. It will be horrific. Imagine the smoke from a third of the trees being burned, the fires, and all the things that will take place. The forests will be, you know, destroyed in many places. The grass, the food for the animals. So much will take place just as we read that. A third of the trees and all the grass. I mean, that's, what are the cows going to eat? What are the animals going to eat? It's going to change everything. And so we don't want to ignore what's coming. And if we wait, it will be too late. Myself, you, we cannot wait. Just like that town in Peru. You know, there came a point when they had no more time. And that will happen in our lifetime. And you and I need to think about that. And so when the trumpet is blown for war, it's not time to go out and start mending your weapons. No, when that happens, you better be battle ready. And so God is asking us now to get ready, because these things will happen. And we want to be on the right side of history when this happens, so that we're protected by God, so that we're in that family and He's watching over us. And so as each of these trumpets sound, God is allowing conditions so that nations will turn to Him. He wants them to listen, to wake up. And this is what God is willing to do. And it's easy to ignore the warnings of God, and yet He's very patient. But if we do continue to disregard what He says, we will be just like the people that are hiding themselves in those rocks. We're trying to figure out how to get the next meal. We'll be going through it as well. So keep your place in Revelation here, because we'll be coming back to it continually to look at these trumpets. But let's go to Ezekiel 33. As we look at these various trumpet plagues, I want to go to other warnings that tie in with this. So Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 1. Brethren, as we consider these trumpets, we'll tie in some other warnings in the Bible that should stir us to action. You know, if we just listen today and you go home and by tomorrow we've forgotten, not my words, but God's words. These are God's words. He's saying, I want you to think about this. As we approach the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles, are we willing, if we want to really enjoy the millennium and be a part of that, are we willing to change our life now? And so here the prophet Ezekiel mentioned horrible things that will come upon Israel. And yet Israel had gone into captivity 130 years earlier before these warnings to the tribe of Judah. And so we know that this warning wasn't for them. It had already taken place. It's for end time Israel. It's for this nation. It's for spiritual Israel, the church, that we have to think about. Ezekiel is warning us so we don't go through the great tribulation and the plagues that are coming. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. Doesn't that apply to us today? to really stop and think. You know, brethren, this Bible, the words of God, is like a trumpet warning. And as we read it, we should really stop and think that we have been warned, and God is telling us that we need to listen to his voice. So when God inspired this, he had the church in mind, that the Bible here is for his church, for the body of Christ, to listen and to be told how to walk and to be given the opportunity to repent and to grow. And sometimes, as we all do in life, we don't always keep up that race as much as we should. And we need to come back to that thinking and be excited about it. If we close our ears, just like Israel did, and ignore the prophecies, then there will be devastation. There will be death. There will be captivity, because that is coming as well. Notice verse 10. Ezekiel 33, verse 10, it says, "Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live?" And here's what God tells them. "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel?" And I think each one of us should put our name in there. Why should we die? God's given us warning. He'll give us help. He gives us direction. He's willing to forgive us. He's saying for all of us, to us now and eventually everyone, that we need to overcome and change while we still have time. Brethren, in Galatians 6, verse 16, just referring to it, Paul refers to those who obey as the Israel of God. So the church today is spiritual Israel that God is working with. We're the elect, the saints. And at times we don't always look at the examples of ancient Israel, God's chosen nation, and realize much of that applies to us as spiritual Israel today, that we need to take note of the parallels. And through Ezekiel, we're being warned to wake up and to consider what areas that we have not surrendered in. Each one of us have areas. I may not know yours and you may not know mine, but we have areas that we can still grow in and overcome. And God knows that, and he's willing to help us. So let's go back to Revelation 8, if you have your marker there. Revelation chapter 8, and we'll look at verse 8. Brethren, remember, the third of the trees have already been burned up. All the grass has been burned. And you think about that huge impact, but that's just the beginning. That's only the first trumpet. So here in Revelation verse 8 of chapter 8, it says, "Then the second angel sounded." So let me just play another sound that we might hear by a shofar. Now, as the people of the world hear that sound, they've already heard the first sound and they saw all the things that happened. Can you imagine? They're going, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? So let's read about it here in verse 8. "Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed." And you think, wow. You know, the people will go, what is going on? You know, I've never seen anything like this. And it will affect everyone. You think about the smell of blood, that of rotting fish. And the trade routes will be messed up. The ships, so many of them will have been destroyed. And the supplies that those ships carry around the world, people are going, where's the food that we're used to coming in this area? This second trumpet blast will wake up, has the opportunity to wake up every person on earth, but we know many will not change. And these warnings are meant to turn everyone to God, and yet many won't listen to the majority of the plagues. We're told that already in Scripture. And yet this applies to us as well. Like, are we really listening to the Scriptures, to the trumpet voice of God as he warns us to get ready for what's coming? Keeping your place again here in Revelation 8, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. Here we have the blessings and cursings chapter. And we'll just read a little section here, Deuteronomy 8, 28 and verse 15. It says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God," isn't that what we're talking about? This trumpet voice that God has, "that if you don't do that, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl." And you think about that, their basket, which way they gathered the grains at that time, a very agricultural society. And then your kneading bowl, they would make their breads and do all this. And God says all that's going to be affected. Verse 18, "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Then the Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly," because, notice the reason here. See, God isn't doing it just for the fun of it. He said, here's what I'm trying to tell you. In verse 20, "until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me." So he warned Israel. They continually said, oh, we're going to go off and find other gods. But God's warning us today in the same way, and this applies to us just as much. And so all of that for disobeying, the diseases, the mental illness, the upset weather, the drought, the insect infestations, and all the things that come that we could read down here about. This is all coming because man's choices not to follow God. Verse 33, "A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually." Verse 41, "You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity." And we could go on, brethren, but God has warned us through the ages by the prophets and the apostles to really turn to him with all of our heart. And I want each one of us to take this to heart and to think about what we need to change. This isn't for everyone else. This is for us, for me. That's how we all need to think. So as we think about the captivity and the invasion and the starvation, it goes on to say that people would get so hungry they will eat their own children. That is so gross, so disgusting, and yet that is the mental state that people will get to when we're not close to God, a God who has a sound mind and has love and joy and peace. This is what God is going to wake people up to. Brethren, we have to think about what we might be failing in according to God's plan, where we might fall short. You know, is it in our tithes and offerings? Is it in the way we keep the Sabbath? Is it holy? Is it how we speak, that we gossip, or we speak evil of people? Whatever it is, we all have things to work on, and God is asking us to take that to heart and to consider, you know, are we willing to change our lives? If we were in that little town in Peru, would we be willing to leave before it was too late? And that's what simply God is asking us. Are we willing to get ready so we can escape what is coming? We need to obey God with all of our heart, so that we don't experience these curses that he's saying, I'm warning you, you don't have to be a part of this. And it's up to us. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 10. Revelation 8 and verse 10. And it says there, "Then the third angel sounded." So here's another shofar sound. Brethren, when we think about the parable of the 10 virgins, it tells us that half of them weren't ready. Those virgins are ones that's the church. That's the people who have been called and have the opportunity. It's not talking about the whole world. It's talking about half of us won't be ready. And at times I think that's true. Even looking at my own life, you can look at yours, you go, we're not fully ready for what's coming. We're not fully ready in every area surrendering to God. And so we can't afford to ignore God's warnings going forward. God never gives a false alarm. What he says will happen. So let's notice here what the third trumpet covers. Revelation 8 and verse 10. "Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So if we're not preparing, then we're setting ourselves up to take a part of these six trumpets. Those trumpets that come prior to the return of Christ, which we are looking forward to, but we have to be ready for what comes before that. And we see that many people die from this plague, and yet we know they'll all be resurrected. See, there are positive things out of this. People have a choice whether to wake up. And those that don't, God will say, when you wake up, when I resurrect you, he said, I'm going to give you your first chance to learn and to grow. And so all these trumpets here are part of the seventh seal. It's all during the day of the Lord, the time of God's wrath. And we definitely don't want to be a part of that. We'll go back to Zephaniah 1 and verse 2. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 2. Hold your place there as well in Revelation. Because the prophet Zephaniah gives a prophecy about the day of the Lord. And it includes these trumpets as well. And so it's a very serious introduction that God inspires to be written here. Zephaniah 1, verse 2. Here's what he says. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land. Have you stopped to think about that as you read these scriptures? This is what's coming. And this is stated by the Eternal. Verse 3, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks. Along with the wicked, I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Eternal. I mean, this is the Almighty God, and we could give him all these names. You know, the Yahweh, the Supreme Being, the Magnificent One. I mean, every term we can think about, this is the great God saying, I'm going to do this because I love my children, and I want them all to be in my family, and I'm going to do this to wake them up. And so whether this happens in our lifetime or not, we must be ready. That's what God simply is asking of us, to not forget what we read in the Bible, not go home today and just say, oh, Feast of Trumpets is over, let's go on to the next thing, you know. Because the nation of Judah didn't learn from the Israelites going into captivity. They continued to disobey, and then they went into captivity. And we don't always even realize what they went through. But times that are coming are going to be worse, God says, than what they experienced. Verse 6, those who have turned back from following the Lord, so in other words, turned away, and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, he has invited his guests. Brethren, those that were sacrificing to false gods now will become the sacrifice. God says, you're going to be burned up. That's what he's telling us. And he's invited guests, he's invited armies to come and take over. And that's what he did to Israel, and that's what he'll do at the end time. And so God will allow a powerful end time system to punish all those who continue in their sinful ways. Once again, Feast of Trumpets, a wonderful thing, but there's all this is that a part of it, and we don't always put all that together. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. And I could read more, brethren, but it goes on to talk about a day of trouble and great distress. And God is wanting us to think about that because we've all sinned. Every one of us have things to work on. And we can't keep pointing our fingers like, oh, look at them. They're doing that. And oh, look at that. I would never do that. No, God says, focus on you, work out your salvation, and draw closer to God while you have time. And when we think about King Jeroboam, you know, he turned away from God. And one of the things he did, he was warned by God, don't go attack your brother Judah. And even Judah warned him, said, no, God, this isn't of God. Don't fight us. But he made that choice. He goes, you know why? He was looking with his own eyes, and he said, I have 800,000 choice men, and you only have half that. You only have 400,000. So he decides to go over and attack them. And you think about it, it turned out for him that, you know, he lost a lot of men. And notice what Abijah says in 2 Chronicles 13, verse 12. I'll just refer to it. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you. O children of Israel, do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. That was a prophet. That was God's warning. That was God's trumpet to him to say, don't go fight against them. And through the ages, God has always sounded an alarm to remind us of the path that we should walk. He's warning us, just like we tell our children, don't do that. Don't do drugs. Don't hang out with those individuals that will lead you down the wrong path. God is doing the same thing. And so Israel set an ambush, and Judah cried out to God, and he delivered them. And that day, Judah destroyed 500,000 choice men of Israel. They didn't even need to go to battle. God told them not to. And this is how we are. If we apply this story to ourselves, sometimes we go, yeah, but I have all these men, and they have half that. You know, our reasoning, our human reasoning is not like God's reasoning. And so we can be just like Jeroboam, think we've got it all figured out. And yet later we go, uh-oh. And we could do that with the upcoming events as the conditions in this world worsen. We don't want to be going, uh-oh, I wished I would have done something differently. Back to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 12. Revelation 8 and verse 12. Brethren, we have to think about the items in our life that are not pleasing to God. And those areas that are pleasing, we need to grow in them, to do better. Revelation 8, verse 12, then the fourth angel sounded. Here's another shofar sound. Revelation 8 and verse 12 says, then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So each plague is added to the top, on top of the previous one. And as these stack up, you know, the first plague, they'd say, this is so terrible, we can't stand it, but they just keep coming. And yet very few repent. And so what a difference would that be if a third of the sunlight or a third of the time, however it is God does it, it's going to change. And these people will begin to have their attention grabbed as they see these and to go, something's happening here, we've never seen anything like it. And so the question is, do these words grab us? Because we don't want to wait until we're going through those trials to wake up. Why should we go through more tribulation than we have to? That's what God is asking us. Go back to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And verse 1. You know, the prophet Joel was inspired to write about the last days, and God's prophets have warned people all down throughout the ages. Today, the church, we're sounding the warning as well. And so many people have thought they could ignore the words of God. Joel 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Brethren, these words will come true. You know, in a sense, they already came true for ancient Israel and Judah, the house of Judah. They went through their captivities, but so much more is coming on the whole world, and we need to consider that. And so what lessons can we learn from the future plagues that will come, that God will bring on us? It's easy for man to think, well, if there's no punishment right away, I'm doing okay. Like, isn't that what the world does now? You know, there's no reason to keep the Sabbath. Most people don't even know what the Sabbath is all about. You know, and yet I'm pretty sure that those that were outside the ark had wished they had listened to the preaching of Noah, because he taught and preached God's righteousness, and they ignored it, and they go, it was too late once they were outside and the ark was sealed. So it's critical for us to listen to every alarm that God sounds, every commandment that he gives. Verse 10 here in Joel 2, it says, the earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, who can endure it? Brethren, if you don't want to be in that, if I don't want to be in that, then we better continue to think about what God is warning us of, that we need to change our ways. Go back to Revelation chapter 8. And I might add that even if we don't live till then, you know, if we turn from God, then we can literally be thrown into the lake of fire. So God is warning us, like, You may say, oh, I'm just going to do this because I don't want to be in the Great Tribulation. But what about for being in the family of God, as pictured by the seventh trumpet, so that we don't get thrown into the lake of fire? Because we're not worthy to be in God's kingdom. It's a gift. We have to consider that. Revelation 9, verse 1. Well, no, let's say Revelation 8 first and verse 13. It says, and I looked, verse 13, and I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Brethren, we want to, as the future bride of Christ, to be ready. We want to really be prepared so that we are pleasing to him. And so these three woes are synonymous with the last three trumpets. Now chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, then the fifth angel sounded. Here's another trumpet sound. You know, I have no idea what those trumpet sounds will be like, but if you think about this being amplified, and how loud it could be and how scary it could be, especially when you have the memory of what's just happened with each sound, it just begins, you could see how the minds and the hearts of people would start to fail because of how catastrophic things will be. And I think God is wanting all of us to wake up to think about that. Let's read verses 1 through 3 here of chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3, then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Brethren, later in Revelation, it tells us about a beast power that ascends out of the bottomless pit. And so the locusts here are symbolic of the beast's military power at the end time, as they do the work of Satan, and not following God, they bring great pain on people. And God, and the chapter also says that Satan is the king over them. And so that army inflicts a lot of pain on people. Verse 4 here, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. So as you read more there, you can see what people in great anguish are going through. And we can't imagine even having one day like this, but to be tormented for 5 months, it's staggering. And only the servants of God will have the seal of protection. So brethren, we need to think about, do we have that seal? Do we have the Spirit of God working in us? As God's very essence working in us to help us, that's the one way he seals us, that we are considered his children. You know, many of the Old Testament prophecies are dual, and they will be repeated in the end time. I'll just refer to Isaiah 6. There the prophet says, how long till your people wake up? And here's what he says. Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate, but yet a tenth will be in it. And that ties in with the book of Amos, in the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about how few people will remain based on all the troublous times that are coming. You know, in Amos, he says, 1,000 will go out, and only 100 will return. 100 will go out, only 10. So it gives the indication that possibly only one-tenth of people will survive. So brethren, as we think about that, as we consider these events that are coming, that we need God's protection, we need his blessing, so we don't have to experience the suffering that is coming. Jeremiah 4:19 says, O my soul, I am pained in my heart. I cannot hold my peace, because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Brethren, we should always picture this day as looking forward to the return of Christ and the resurrection of the saints, but we also need to keep in mind these events, because they are being pictured as well by each trumpet sound. And we know the world is a mess today. And it's going to get worse in the coming years. I've heard that my whole life, but I still believe it. And even if I die and it hasn't happened, I know it's coming because God has said it. And that's what we need to think about. Are we preparing our lives so that God will count us worthy to escape these things. That's the whole key. If we don't do that, then we can count on going through this if it happens during our lifetime. Let's look at another trumpet here, Revelation 9 and verse 13. Revelation 9, verse 13. And it says, "Then the sixth angel sounded." So I'll play another trumpet sound. Brethren, as God's children, are we listening to his voice as it thunders out? Because that's what these trumpet blasts picture. Revelation 9 and verse 13. "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, 'Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates.' So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released," and get this, "they were released to kill a third of mankind." Brethren, you know, you think about all the wars of history. This is making a statement that has never happened, to kill a third of mankind. Verse 16, "Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them." These are God's words, brethren. This isn't man over here predicting that this is going to happen. This is the Almighty God saying, this will happen. I've already written it. I will not change this. And so this army will kill a huge number of people around the world. Verse 18. "But by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and smoke and brimstone which came out of their mouths, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm." Verse 20. "But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent." And I'll just stop there. Brethren, you know, naturally the human nature is resist God. We've all done it. We've been there. And we'll still make mistakes going forward. But we can see that God trying to wake people up, some will still not listen. And we need to make sure that we're not like that as members of the church. We can be in the church, but we can still have this attitude in a sense that, no, I'm not going to ever bend to that. I'm not going to surrender in that way. And we have to be very careful. You know, I just refer back to Romans 13 under this trumpet plague. But there it tells us to beware of the time that we live in. You know, we need to redeem the time. We need to be awake and alert. We need to be thinking about how we're living our life. Because every day we grow closer to the kingdom of God. Are we spiritually awake as we consider these trumpet blasts in the future? In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." So just because we sit here doesn't mean we're in the faith. You know, once again, as the 10 virgins, only half of them are getting it or doing anything about it. "Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." So that's a scary thought. None of us want to be disqualified. We all want to fulfill our purpose for existence. And yet if we don't inspect ourselves, we deceive ourselves into think we're doing fine. And these days really point us to the fact that we need to do better. We need to grow. You know, in 1 Corinthians, we're told that our bodies are the temple of God's Spirit. We have to make sure that God is residing in us, that he's pleased to dwell there, because we're willing to put out those things that he can't dwell with. Brethren, we should be fully awake to each statement, to look closely, to inspect ourselves, and to see where we stand. Let's look at the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11 and verse 15. Chapter 11, verse 15. This is the trumpet we usually focus on this day. And it's beautiful. But all these others, God says, need to be done in order to get ready for this one. Verse 15 of Revelation 11, "Then the seventh angel sounded." So one more. Revelation 11, verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" That is the trumpet that we're all looking forward to. That is the one that we should think about and pray about, and as God says, seek first the kingdom of God. And yet, if we're not listening to the voice of God, we won't be ready to serve in that government. That's the point here. That God says, I want all of you to be a part of it, but if you don't take warning to his trumpet messages throughout the scriptures, that we won't be ready for all that's coming. This is the trumpet blast that we look forward to. It signifies the beginning of an everlasting kingdom. The change of our physical bodies with pain and suffering and all the things we could add to that into a spiritual body glorified to be in the family of God, in the presence of God, serving, helping, loving, giving, growing for the rest of eternity. It seems too real to be, or unreal, but God is saying, I've offered that and I have the power to do it. So we need to take all this to heart and think about it. Brethren, we were created to become the children of God, to live in splendor, to live in beauty with no sin, no death after a certain point. And that's what God is asking us to think about. So brethren, as you go through this Feast of Trumpets this day, think about God's voice as a trumpet. You know, everything we read from the different prophets, he spoke through them, but those messages he tied in with mentioning the trumpet, but it's his voice. He's reaching out to us to ask us to wake up, to change, to grow, to listen to the warnings before it's too late. And if we're listening, and if we're preparing, then we will be ready for the seventh trump, the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our bodies into spirit beings in the family of God.